Hi there, Stacy here, welcoming you back for the March edition of Angus Talking Newspaper. I hope you've had a nice and cozy winter, and here's hoping for a lovely spring as we near it. On this month's edition, we have Gwen reading from the 19th of February, Leslie with the 26th of February, and Fiona with the 5th of March. We close out with a TNF sounding of a brain teaser from the flower shop. Find out if you can count all the flowers mentioned in the descriptive conversations at the flower shop. The answers are fully detailed and included at the end. If you're listening via USB, we've added in an article about the traditions around Easter Monday. As always, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to my first recording of 2026. It's Gwen McIntosh here. I'm reading today from Angus County Press, dated Thursday, 19th February. Starting with the front page news, where there's a picture of the sign above the door of Bank of Scotland, the caption reads, Lloyds Banking Group has announced a swathe of closures across Scotland, including 11 Bank of Scotland branches. The article is by Mark Dowie, entitled, Closure is Bad News. The Bank of Scotland branch in Broughty Ferry is to close later this year, in the latest round of closures announced by the Lloyds Banking Group. It is part of a swathe of 100 UK site closures, which includes 53 Lloyds, 31 Halifax and 11 Banks of Scotland. The Scottish sites and their closure dates are Benbecula, Blairgowrie, Bridge of Don, Broughty Ferry, June 15th, Garrow Hill, Paddington, Kelso, Lochgilphead, Rutherglen, Stonehaven on June 18th, and Pennycook. Lloyds has said that the closures have been driven by changes in how customers bank, but local politicians have criticised the closure, describing the plan as massively disappointing and bad news for the local community. Broughty Ferry customers will still be able to use the Dundee Murraygate branch, or any Lloyds or Halifax sites. Local councillor Kevin Cordell said, I won't pretend this is anything other than a massively disappointing announcement and a decision that can only be detrimental to the ferry's thriving centre. Customers who would come to the bank and then do other things in the ferry may well now take that custom elsewhere. Issues of social isolation and an ageing population who rely on this service are also concerns. The bank suggests that customers want the freedom to bank in the way that works for them, and we offer more choice and ways to manage money than ever before. Mr. Cordell continued, It seems this does not apply to those who wish to visit a local branch. I have written to the bank adding my concerns and disappointment to those already raised. Our Broth and Broughty Ferry MP Stephen Geffens and Dundee East MSP Shona Robertson have also both met with representatives from Lloyds to discuss the closure. Mr. Geffens said, The closure is bad news for constituents, small businesses and the wider local economy. Many local traders rely on in-person banking services, and so do those who may otherwise struggle to travel to the larger branches. This week, Shona Robertson, MSP, and I met with Lloyds Banking Group to convey the concerns of constituents and of local businesses. Ms. Robertson also wrote to the company, raising concerns over ease of access to services for elderly and disabled customers. She said, The closure of the branch will force them to travel to your Dundee branch. While this route is served well by public transport, it is likely to still present a significant barrier to more vulnerable customers with a mobility issue. I am also concerned about the impact on many small local businesses who rely on deposit facilities and timely arrival of funds into their accounts for cash flow, which I understand is not necessarily the case if they instead deposit funds at the post office. Requiring business owners to travel into the city centre will be a considerable inconvenience. A Bank of Scotland spokesperson said, Customers want the freedom to bank in the way that works for them, and we offer more choice and ways to manage money than ever before. In addition to our app, customers can use the local post office or walk into any Bank of Scotland to manage their money and deposit cash at paypoint locations. We're giving customers the flexibility to bank wherever and whenever they need us. £17 million to secure water supply. SNP candidate for Angus South, Lloyd Melville, and Graeme Day, the current MSP, visited Lochaventraythan last week to discuss water security, following last year's dry summer and the exceptionally wet winter that followed. During a tour of the Lintraithan water treatment works, they discussed the challenges with prolonged low rainfall over the summer, which culminated in water scarcity warnings being issued before the current wet spell. The Loch of Lintraithan and Backwater Reservoir supply the drinking water for around 300,000 residents in the Angus and Dundee area. A £17 million work programme is underway to strengthen and modernise water infrastructure in and around Lintraithan to ensure security of supply during future extreme dry spells. Mr Melville said, "After a very wet start to 2026, it's easy to forget the real risk posed by extreme dry weather. Backwater Reservoir and the Loch of Lintraithan were dangerously low over the summer, impacting on the availability of water throughout Angus. That's why this investment to secure the supply of our top quality drinking water is so important for the people across Angus." Mr Day added, "It was an interesting visit to Lintraithan and sobering to hear about the challenges changing weather patterns can have on basic essentials like clean drinking water. This investment will help us avoid such instances in future, and I thank Scottish Water for their engagement on this issue. The staff working against future water scarcity are carrying out an extremely difficult task at scale, for which we owe them a debt of thanks." Egg Donation for Fundraiser by Mark Dowie. Fundraisers at the Adams Centre in Montrose, including a remarkable 101-year-old who knits to raise funds for the charity, have received an early spring boost after ScotMid donated 200 Easter eggs to support their special fundraising initiative. The eggs will be used to complete hand-knitted Easter chick holders made by centre users, with all proceeds going towards supporting the work of the Adams Centre. Purpose-built, the centre provides a safe, welcoming environment for older adults, offering social connection, support and respite for families across the local community. Irene Mitchell, centre manager at the Adams Centre, said, "This donation has meant a great deal to everyone at the Adams Centre. Our fundraisers put so much care and pride into what they do, and having ScotMid support this initiative, especially one led by our oldest knitter, aged 101, is incredibly uplifting for everyone." Lynn Ogg, Head of Community and Member Engagement at ScotMid, added that the company was pleased to help out. She said, "When we heard about this wonderful fundraising idea and the incredible knitters who support the centre, we were delighted to help. The Adams Centre plays a vital role in supporting older people in Montrose, and this felt like a very special way to support both the charity and the people at its heart." The company added that the donation reflects its continuing commitment to supporting local communities and grassroots charities. Cycle Path Improvements. Work was due to start this week on a series of improvements to a popular walking and cycling path in Montrose. Work will be carried out on Rose Hill Road over 5 days, followed by improvements at Falls Road. The upgrades include raising the path and installing a new filter to help alleviate the current flooding at both locations. Accessibility will also be improved through the removal of some barriers and the installation of bollards, in line with recent improvements on the Marine Avenue path. Sections of the path will be closed at times. These works are part of Angus Council's continuing commitment to promoting active travel and creating safer, more accessible routes for residents and visitors. They also contribute to plans to improve connectivity across the town. This follows on from previous path improvements, with further local improvements planned in future years. The project is funded through Angus Council's Tier 1 funding, provided annually from Transport Scotland. Here's two reports from SWI. Interest raised by guide dogs and wartime talks. Kingsmuir SWI members enjoyed a presentation from June Gibson, who has been a volunteer with the Guide Dogs for the Blind for over 20 years. June gave a very informative talk on the work and dedication involved in the dogs' training, from first year with puppy raisers, then progressing to intense training for a further year. The Guide Dog Centre at Forfar can have up to 120 dogs, with each trainer responsible for 4 dogs. The dogs are then matched to their new owner and help support the lives of people with varying degrees of blindness. Any dogs that do not meet the high standard required of the charity may work for the police or be adopted. Competitions at this WI was for handmade Valentine's card. First was Mabel Taylor. Now from Memmas and Fern SWI. February's meeting brought a return visit of the writer Alison Summers, whose subject this time was wartime in West Angus. This is a subject she had researched for her recently published book. Along with the photos she brought with her, it proved to be an interesting afternoon, with some of our members recognising people in the photos and being able to supply further information on certain aspects. Alison also judged the competitions as follows. Raspberry Jam, 1st Kathleen Melville, 2nd Frances Craig, 3rd Ella Grant. Animal Ornament, 1st Mary Donnelly, 2nd Kathleen Melville, 3rd Frances Craig. And Flower of the Month, 1st Mary Donnelly, 2nd Sarah Houston, 3rd Lavina Harvey. Charity's work focuses on teaching skills. Arbroath Probus Club recently hosted an enjoyable talk by Morag McKenzie and Greg Patterson from the Learning Tree Partnership. They gave a detailed background to this well-run charity, which is now in its 10th year. The Learning Tree Partnership supports people with learning disabilities to gain skills and experience in customer service. They are based in Guthrieport Arbroath and are open Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The charity's aims are achieved by selling quality second-hand books, DVDs, CDs, vinyl records and children's toys through their shop there. The shop is used for customer service learning, and the organisation strives to ensure that its customers are happy with the level of service they receive. Birthday Bonus for Children's Charity by Mark Dowie. Children and families in Angus and across the wider region have been given a boost by independent resort Forbes of Kilkenny. The luxury country resort near Wellbank turned 30 last year and celebrated its birthday milestone by hosting a black tie event to raise much-needed funds for the Archie Foundation in Tayside, realising a total of £4,000. The sold-out Big Birthday Bash in November saw guests enjoy a delicious three-course dinner with local produce and a live band to dance the night away, before a fireworks display brought the evening to a sparkling close. Forbes of Kilkenny also supported Archie with an end-of-year quiz and Kilkenny Fest, a late summer festival which raised additional funds. Guests enjoyed a day of acoustic performances and vibrant acts, while enjoying the resort's tranquil grounds over locally crafted gins, beers and cocktails. The Archie Foundation exists to transform experiences and outcomes in healthcare and bereavement for babies, children and families across North Scotland. The charity's vision is that all children across Tayside, Grampian and the Highlands and Islands have equal access to world-class healthcare and bereavement support, delivered in a child-appropriate environment and manner. Archie has helped children and families across the north of Scotland for 25 years, funding specialist roles and projects at Tayside Children's Hospital, Royal Aberdeen Children's Hospital, and more recently at Highland Children's Unit and Dr. Grace Hospital, Elgin. Rebecca Duncan, Business Development and Fundraising Manager for the Archie Foundation in Tayside, said, "This £4,000 donation and the support we continue to receive from Forbes of Kilkenny is amazing. We're also looking for other local businesses to follow Forbes of Kilkenny's lead and sign up as charity partners, and would love to hear from anyone who is keen to support us in 2026. Saving over £400 on prescriptions. New figures have shown that NHS Tayside dispensed 8,523,791 free prescriptions last year, with the average Scottish household saving nearly £450 a year, thanks to the SNP abolishing prescription charges in Scotland. Research from the Scottish Parliament Information Centre has shown that on average, households in Scotland received 44.5 prescriptions in 2024-25. With prescriptions costing £9.90 each in England, this means that Scottish households saved an average of £440.50 on essential medicines. And with prescription charges at record levels in England, and Nigel Farage's Reform Party openly talking about introducing charges in Scotland, Angus South MSP Graham Day has said that the SNP is the only party which can be trusted to keep vital medical treatments free at the point of use for people in Scotland. He said the cost of essentials has continued to soar under the Labour Party, putting a strain on household finances. Thanks to the SNP abolishing prescription charges in 2011, people in Angus do not need to worry about being able to pay for essential medicines for themselves or their families. Scotland continues to provide the most comprehensive cost of living support anywhere in the UK, with SNP policies including ending peak rail fares, free university tuition, free school meals and childcare, free personal care and prescriptions, the Scottish Child Payment and the Baby Box, putting thousands of pounds back in people's pockets. Voting SNP is the only way to protect and improve Scotland's NHS, prioritise the cost of living and secure a fresh start with independence. Grants up to £200,000 for safety projects. The Road Safety Trust has released details of its forthcoming large grants round, with funding of up to £200,000 for innovative and high-impact road safety projects. The Trust is an independent grant-giving organisation which supports projects and research that make UK roads and streets safer for all users. Its latest round of funding will open in early April, when applicants will be invited to bid for funding relating to one of two themes, preventing harm linked to drug-impaired driving and motorised riding, or safer vehicles. These themes align with priorities set out in the UK Government's National Road Safety Strategy, which emphasises tackling the use of drink and drugs and also highlights the role of technology, innovation and data in improving vehicle safety. Funding of between £50,000 and £200,000 per project will be available out of a total budget of around £750,000, and prospective applicants are encouraged to start thinking about their bids now. Louise Palomino, Grants and Impact Director, said, "It's important to us that any project or intervention that we fund can make a demonstrable difference to preventing harm on our roads and making them safer for all users. And the publication of the National Road Safety Strategy further strengthens the case of innovative and high-impact approaches. The Trust will adopt a two-stage application process, which will offer prospective grantees early feedback on their proposal, and then additional guidance for those invited to submit full bids. Further details about the themes and what we will be looking for in the proposals can be found on the Road Safety Trust's website." Wet, 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 Bringing New Tour to Angus by Mark Dowie. Multi-platinum selling band Wet, Wet, Wet are coming to Forfar in May for one night only as part of their new acoustic tour. For the series of intimate shows, the majority of venues are located in places that they've never played before during their 40-plus year career, as well as a brand new album that sees them revisit their songs in a stripped-back style. An intimate acoustic evening with Wet, Wet, Wet will see founding member Graham Clark, long-standing guitarist Graham Duffin, and lead singer Kevin Sim, who joined the band in 2018, perform a full set of reworked Wet, Wet, Wet classics, with the odd story and anecdote from the band's history thrown in for good measure. The idea for the album and for taking this new show on the road has developed from the band's recent run of hugely successful full band tours, which have seen them perform to over 75,000 people at their headline shows alone during the last couple of years, plus countless more at festivals around the world. The Strings Attached album contains reimagined versions of Wet Wet Wet's biggest songs, rearranged using a plethora of instrumentation, including guitar, bass, drums, double bass and accordion, plus a cover of Fleetwood Mac's The Chain, which has become a live favourite. The band will appear at Forfar's Reid Hall on Thursday, May 21st. Tickets are available from their website, wetwetwet.co.uk/live/. Stool Pride as Andrew Earns Scotland Call-Up by Brian Yule. Lathallan School pupil Andrew Fasania was selected for the Scotland Men's Under-16 squad as they travelled to Cyprus. The Lagos-born 15-year-old's journey to the international stage has been defined by his power on the pitch and rapid progression. Having first laced up his boots at the age of 10, he was quickly scouted and has spent the last 5 years developing his talent within the youth system at Aberdeen. His selection for the national team marks a significant milestone in his promising career and reflects his status as one of the region's most exciting young prospects. When hearing the news of his selection, Fasania said, "I really didn't believe it. I didn't think I would make it to this point. So, being selected for the under-16s for Scotland was a huge thing for me. I'm really nervous and excited at the same time. I'm just hoping to leave a good impression and show what I can do. My dream is to get to the highest level of football that I can, for people to know where I started and how I developed to be one of the top players from Scotland and Nigeria. If I do achieve this, it'll be huge, not just for me, but for everyone who has supported me." Lathallan School Headmaster Richard Tolley added, "Huge congratulations to Andrew on his selection for the Scotland's men's under-16s. This is a well-deserved opportunity for the hours of training and passion he pours into his sport. We are proud to have him representing both his country and our school."
Hello everyone, this is Leslie, reading from the Angus County Press of February 26. This week, there's a couple of really long articles, but I think they're so interesting, I'm going to read them just about in full. So there may not be quite as many items, but I hope you enjoy the first two as much as I did when I was looking through the newspaper. So the first one, the title is Iron Age Footprints Found on Angus Beach. Storms which recently ravaged the country's coastline have revealed a set of rare 2,000-year-old footprints on an Angus beach, one of only a handful of locations in the UK where markings of this kind have ever been discovered. The imprints of human and animal feet, made around the time of Boudicca, Jesus, and the height of the Roman Empire, were temporarily revealed by shifting sands at Lunan Bay and spotted by vigilant members of the public. Locals, Ivor Campbell and Jenny Sneddon, and there's pictures of both of them here, were walking their dog Ziggy and Juno along the picturesque sands when they saw that storm damage to the dunes had revealed a fresh layer of clay in which Ivor noticed distinct markings. He called archaeologist Bruce Bam, who, suspecting both the significance of the discovery and the race against time they faced to capture it, called in expertise from the University of Aberdeen. A team of archaeologists led by Professor Kate Britton dashed to the scene, picking up essential supplies like plaster of Paris in a craft shop en route. They worked in wind speeds of more than 55 miles per hour while being battered by whipped up sand to preserve evidence from the footprints. Similar markings have been identified in a small number of sites in England, including the Severn Estuary, Formby on Merseyside, and Happensburgh in Norfolk, but there's no previous record of a similar site in Scotland. Professor Britton said, "We knew we were dealing with a really rare site and that this discovery offered a unique snapshot in time. But it was also clear that the sea would soon take back what had so recently been revealed. We had to work fast in the worst conditions I've ever encountered for archaeological field work. The sea was coming in fast, with every high tide ripping away parts of the site, while wind-blown sand was simultaneously damaging it. We were effectively being sandblasted, and the site was too, while all the time we were trying to delicately clean, study, and document everything we could see. So it became a race against the elements, and within 48 hours, the entire site was destroyed. With Jenny and Ivor helping by carrying buckets and catering welcome cups of tea, the team of archaeologists were able to record and map the site and capture 3D models and physical casts of the prints. Back in the laboratory, they selected preserved plant remains found in the deposits just below the footprints for radiocarbon dating, which confirmed the markings were made around 2,000 years ago. Ongoing analysis of the footprints has identified red deer, roe deer, and other animals, as well as humans who would have walked barefoot on the now semi-fossilized clay. Professor Noble, who led the work, said, "This is a really tangible link with the region's past. The late Iron Age dates are in keeping with what we know about the rich archaeology of the nearby Lunan Valley. It's very exciting to think these prints were made by people around the time of the Roman invasions in Scotland and in the centuries leading up to the emergence of the Picts. Archaeologists say the unique find offers a window into human activity along the Angus coastline and the changing nature of the landscape." And there's a picture too of the site in the paper. And there's also a picture of one of the footprints that was made about 2000 years ago. So it's a really exciting story. I know it's a bit long, but I hope you enjoyed it. The next item is a long one too. It's a full page article. And the title is An Outstanding Year for Young Farmers. And it's just, I thought, really interesting to read about what the young farmers and youth of the area have been doing. The Angus Tayside District of the Scottish Association of Young Farmers Clubs, SAYFC, is celebrating another exceptional year marked by major competition victories, national successes, and significant charitable fundraising across its three clubs, Forfar, Strathmore, and Brechin. District Chairman Glenn Barkley reflected on the past 12 months, highlighting the strong sense of unity built across the district. He said, "At the beginning of the year, our aim was to bring the district clubs closer together, And I would say that is something we have achieved. Competing on a national stage or coming together for charity events, there's been a real sense of teamwork and shared pride in representing Angus Tayside. Community fundraising has once again been a cornerstone of the district's activities. A standout event was the inaugural past versus present Angus Tayside members football match for the Cochrane Family Quick. The fixture drew a bumper crowd and raised over £2,000 for brain tumour research. 4JAC's hugely popular Christmas Eve tractor run saw an incredible 202 vehicles taking part, raising more than £11,000 for the Angus Toy Appeal, the Big Build Project and club finances. Strathmore JAC members Paul Thompson and Michael McLaughlin completed the Three Peaks Challenge in just 23 hours and 41 minutes, raising £1,655, while the club's Hogmanay Hurl tractor run brought in £3,819.30 for Strathmore Centre for Youth Development and club funds. YFC also demonstrated its community focus, raising over £3,000 at the Angus show, alongside ongoing support for local events, including the Breechen Pageant and Scottish Tractor Pulling Competition. One of the headline achievements of the year came at East Rally, where 4JAC delivered a historic performance, lifting the Bibby Shield as overall winners, returning the trophy to 4 for only the second time in history. 4 dominated the stock judging certificates, claiming first, second and third places in the seniors, capping off a remarkable day for the club. Strathmore JAC also impressed at Raleigh, retaining the Renesmee Cup for produce and art and crafts and finishing third overall, underlining the strength of the district across all disciplines. District rivalries were set aside for East football, where a combined Angus Tayside side were undefeated and conceded 0 goals, securing the East title for the second consecutive year. The district enjoyed tremendous success at the prodigious Royal Highland Show, particularly in the stock judging. And then the highlight of the district calendar is, without doubt, the Angus Tayside Cabaret competition. And after 3 incredible performances, Breechen YFC were crowned winners with their performance of Watson's Anatomy, which left all in the theatre laughing. The girls' tug-of-war team secured qualification to the national finals after a dominant display at West Fife Show, earning their place at the Royal Highland Show finals. From curling and golf to cabaret and Member of the Year successes, Angus Tayside members have continued to represent their clubs and district with pride across all disciplines. It's been a jam-packed year for Angus Tayside, Glenn concluded. The commitment our members show to competitions, fundraising and supporting each other is something we are incredibly proud of. The future of the district is very bright. And there are pictures of the two boys who climbed the Three Peaks Challenge up on top of one of the peaks on what looks like a beautiful sunny day. There's pictures of the cabaret group. There's pictures of the committee. And there's pictures of Rory Wood, Charlie Simpson and Frankie Hood at the Royal Highland Show with their stock judging competition. So I just thought that was a really interesting article about what young people are doing in this area, young farmers are doing. So moving on. Talk is a view from the Lifeboats Bridge. Forfar Probers Club recently enjoyed a talk by Peter Hay, who has a 38-year volunteering career with the RNLI in Broughty Ferry. He decided to give up his day job as a local business at Gillies for a lesser paid full-time post in the service he loves. His station is the busiest in the UK, covering the Tay estuary and coastal waters between Arbroath and Anstruther, with 106 call-outs in the last year and 8 lives saved. Peter paid tribute to past crews with a poignant video of the 1959 Mona tragedy, which cost the town 8 lives, and advised members caught in the water on the latest float-to-live procedure. Many questions were asked about a coxswain's responsibilities, training and flood rescue. Peter was thanked by Robert Kidd. Donation to support the Sally. Arbroath Rotarians recently visited the local branch of the Salvation Army to present a cheque for £500 to assist with the organisation's activities. The money was raised over the festive period by Rotarians singing Christmas carols in the town. Members sang in Arbroath High Street, the Abbey Gate, and were also given special permission to sing a few upbeat numbers in the Corn Exchange. Anne Lovey of the Salvation Army said, "I really enjoyed singing with the Rotarians and I'm very grateful to receive this money, which will greatly assist our provision of services to those who need it most." Rotarian President Liz McEwen said, "We wholeheartedly thank the Arbroath townspeople who contributed so freely to our collection for the Sally." And there's a picture of them there, looking very happy and obviously pleased with their fundraising event. Another Christmas related donation. Charity's late Christmas gift. Thanks to the generosity of worshippers at their Christmas Eve services, Forfar East, Old and Inverarity churches recently donated £380 to Angus Women's Aid. The cheque was accepted by Anne Robertson Brown, Executive Director of Angus Women's Aid, and Treasurer Irene, based in Arbroath. The charity provides confidential, emotional, and practical support, including help to settle into a new area, help to seek legal or benefits advice, housing support, an outreach service, and a safe refuge in which to stay. Anne explained how the money would be spent by the charity, founded 48 years ago, in helping affected families and children in Angus. And again, there's a picture here of Anne and Irene receiving the cheque from Reverend Tommy McGregor. And now just a few snippets about football. So the first one is Montrose Rosalie. Montrose Rosalie played their first competitive fixture since January 24th when they travelled to Farquharson Park on Saturday to play Scone Thistle. But it wasn't a happy return to action for Rosalie as they went down 3-1. Next we move on to Brechin City. 10-man City hold on for victory. Brechin City moved into third place in the Highland League with a solitary goal from Killian Sheridan being enough to seal the 3 points against league leaders Brora Rangers, despite spending the majority of the match with 10 men after Brad Mackay was sent off. The 1-0 win saw the Hedgemen leapfrog Formantine United, albeit on goal difference, after their away trip to Buckie Thistle was postponed due to the pitch at Victoria Park being unplayable. The victory made it 3 wins out of 3 for returning boss Andy Kirk, as well as reigniting City's title chances. And now we move to Montrose. Brown's stunning strike wins it for Gable Endies. A late strike from Craig Brown saw Montrose emerge victorious with the old goal in 5 against Queen of the South at Lynx Park. The Gable Endies started the stronger team with early pressure, which proved costly for the visitors as Montrose won an early corner after 2 minutes. And finally, we have got Forfar. Oh, no, it's not finally, but we're coming up and coming up to finally soon. Tyler Nett's winner on his debut. Forfar boss Jim Weir praised new signing Tyler Pasnik after he made a sensational start to his Forfar career. 21-year-old attacking midfielder signed from FC Naples in the United Soccer League just in time to be added to the Loons squad for Saturday's home match against Annan Athletic. And just moments after coming in as a late sub, he grabbed the winning goal when charging down an attempted clearance by Annan keeper Chio Clark. And now finally, Arbroath. Adapt and win. Arbroath strengthened their grip on third place in the championship as they adapted better to the conditions to claim 3 points against Dunfermline Athletic at the weekend. And they can now look to try to close the gap on second place Partick Thistle when they travel to Fir Hill on Saturday. Torrential rain and a heavy, muddy pitch made it difficult for both teams, but the Red Lichties showed resilience and adaptability to gain revenge on the only side to have defeated them in the league at Gayfield this season.
Angus County Press, Thursday, 5th of March, 2026. Hello, this is Fiona here.
Council tax up by over 9%. Angus Council has delivered a council tax increase to residents after agreeing a rise of almost 9.4% at its budget-setting meeting this week. The 9.38 figure proposed by the Coalition administration was passed by a single vote at a special meeting of the full council on Tuesday. It raises the annual Band D rate by 137.13 to £1,598.65 annually. A second successive double-digit increase was narrowly avoided after a rise of 11% last year. Council leader George Meehan revealed the planned council tax rise, having already set out much of the ruling group's spending plans at the start of the week. Those include investments in graduate modern apprentices to boost council staffing, rescue package to retain Glendall Ranger Centre, complex care transition investment, school safety programme, disabled taxis grant scheme, environmental fund including dog fouling education. Charges for council services will rise around 5% on average. The leader said the Angus budget focuses on reality, honesty and ambition. The administration budget incorporates 10.9 million of uncommitted reserves. However, Mr. Meehan pledged it would not mean they would splash the cash. He said, "Our guiding principle is we will only draw from reserves where it's responsible, sustainable, and in the public interest." Stepping up for charity. Staff from Stagecoach's Arbroath Depot will be going the extra mile for charity as they prepare to undertake all four Scottish Kilt Walks over a year. The four-strong team will take part in the Dundee, Glasgow, Aberdeen and Edinburgh Kilt Walks, building on the success of previous years and underlining their shared commitment to well-being, teamwork and supporting communities across Angus and beyond. The challenge is being led by Debbie Doherty, who previously guided colleagues through the Dundee Kilt Walk, raising more than £1,000. But this year, the team decided that they wanted to set their sights higher, starting next month with the Glasgow Walk. Operations manager Dean Smith Ross and lead driver Ross Piggott are also involved in the challenge. Participants will be fundraising for a range of charities chosen by colleagues, with Stagecoach match funding available to help maximise the impact of donations. The initiative reflects Stagecoach's continued encouragement of colleague-led fundraising and activities that promote physical well-being while delivering meaningful benefits for local causes. Debbie said, "Taking on all four kilt walks is a big challenge, but it's one we're really excited about. The support we received last year was incredible, and it showed how much can be achieved when colleagues come together for a good cause. We're proud to be representing Arbroath and raising money for charities that mean a lot to us." Fiona Doherty, Managing Director of Stagecoach South Scotland, praised the staff's dedication. She added, "Our Arbroath colleagues continue to set a fantastic example. Taking on all four kilt walks shows real determination, team spirit and a genuine commitment to giving back. I'm incredibly proud of everyone involved and wish them every success as they take on this brilliant challenge for charity." Stagecoach is a long-standing supporter and official partner of the Kilt Walk, which has helped hundreds of thousands of people raise millions of pounds for good causes across Scotland since it began. Community support to access park funding. The upgrade of one of Forfar's most used play parks could depend on local support to access funding for the project. Angus Council has already set aside £150,000 of Scottish Government funding for improvements to the play area at Forfar Loch Country Park. Popular with locals and visitors, particularly given its situation next to the nearby caravan park, it was sited next to the former Lochside Leisure Centre until the building was demolished in 2022. The centre's old tennis courts and its former crazy golf course have also been removed. However, the funding will only be enough to replace three large items of play equipment and install new surfacing. Angus Council, therefore, carried a survey on what replacement locals would like to see. And there are hopes a community volunteer group could help to access significant extra investment. The council said, before moving ahead to replace the items, we wanted to ask the community if there was interest in working with the council to help design improvements and explore additional funding to enhance the play area and park beyond. The main points from the survey feedback included a desire for more varied play equipment, better seating, more facilities for older children, recognition of the loch as a special natural space that is easy to access from town, interest in completing the circular path around the loch. The survey also revealed support for the return of a cafe to the area. Despite the loch's popularity, it has no food or refreshment facilities. Public toilets are located in the Country Park Ranger Centre, but their condition led to complaints last year. The facility had been neglected. Teenagers also want to see a better skate park, with two-thirds of those who responded to the survey saying they do not go there because it's too small. The council hopes a new group could secure funds of £10,000 to £50,000 for extra or larger play equipment and up to £200,000 to create a destination play area. The council added, what can be achieved depends on available funding and working together over time. Anyone who would like to get involved should email accesslessparkscountryside@angus.gov.uk. New chairman for Probus. At today's Arbroath Probus Club AGM, it was a pleasant handover from Dr. Cedric de Voyle to the new chairman, Max Wallace. Max gave the membership an interesting summary of his family life and of his career in the oil industry. At the same meeting, the club agreed to not increase the annual subs and the fortnightly coffee oblique biscuit costs will remain £10 and £2.50. Arbroath Probus Club meet at the British Legion on alternate Tuesday mornings for a cup of coffee before the invited speaker gives their talk to the members. Clubs are local, autonomous, non-profit groups for retired and semi-retired professional oblique business people, fostering fellowship through regular meetings, guest speakers and social outings. The club promotes friendship and fellowship among its members. It is non-sectarian and non-political. Update on New Open Garden. The Guild recent speaker at Forfar East Old and Inverarity Church was Maureen Wedderburn, Forfar Open Garden Chairperson, with her secretary, Elizabeth McLaren. They explained the aims of the charity and the expansion possible by the move from its former location to another on Lochside Road. The charity was founded 11 years ago to support the mental health and well-being of the community through the therapeutic benefits of gardening and has grown to 2,500 visitors per year with two staff, one apprentice and lots of volunteers. The garden helps care homes, schools, nurseries and people with a physical mental health disability or neurodiversity conditions and dementia. Marathon March, open to movers of all abilities. The Archie Foundation is calling for people of all ages and abilities across Angus to get moving this March as it encourages sign-ups for its annual Marathon March fundraiser. The charity challenge encourages participants to move a mile every day throughout March with the goal of reaching an ultra-marathon distance across the month. Whether you're a regular runner, fancy a leisurely stroll, move on wheels or even want to swim, the fundraiser is an inclusive event that welcomes people however they want to join in. All the proceeds will go to Archie to support babies, children and families in the north of Scotland, including Tayside Children's Hospital at Ninewells in Dundee and babies, children and families across the wider Tayside region. This year, the charity aims to exceed previous totals, and among those who have already signed up are staff and youngsters at Glenlaw House, Learn and Grow Childcare and Tot Stars, which runs sensory and imaginative play sessions at the facility in Dundee. Staff will help the children they support, who all have complex health needs, to get involved by assisting them in daily routes in their wheelchairs with a challenge thermometer to track progress throughout the month. The unit provides respite care for up to four children at a time and supports families from across Dundee, Angus and Perth, providing an NHS service not offered anywhere else in Scotland. Staff from the NHS Tayside Children and Young People's Physiotherapy Service have also signed up for a second time. Rebecca Duncan, Business Development and Fundraising Manager for Tayside, said, "It's so heartwarming to watch our supporters come together to take part in such an important cause for all the babies, children and families we support across Tayside and beyond. This is one of our most popular community fundraisers because it's simple, flexible and brings people together for a shared purpose. With the rising demand for our services across the area, fundraising events like Marathon March are more important than ever." Sorry about my cuckoo clock. IKEA's new Dundee plan and order to open this month. IKEA will open the doors of its brand new plan and order point in Dundee's Kingsway West Retail Park on Thursday, March the 19th at 10 a.m, marking its first ever presence in the city. IKEA plan and order points are smaller stores designed to provide customers with bespoke kitchen and storage planning services. Customers can access in-depth home furnishing advice and expertise, assisting them in planning, purchasing and installing their ideal kitchens, bedroom and living room furniture. Customers will also be able to drop in or book an appointment online to start their design with one of the design specialists based in the store, part of the 8-strong Dundee co-worker team. Products can then be ordered from across the full IKEA range for delivery direct to the customer's home or to the plan and order point for collection. The brand new plan and order point will offer a collection area for online orders, with customers able to conveniently return IKEA purchases to the store. Hayshead pupils are top of the class. Hayshead Primary School were the winners at a local quiz event held recently at Timmer Green's Primary School. The primary school's quiz, organised by Arbroath Rotary Club, was held on Wednesday, February the 25th, and featured entrants from Timmer Green's, Muirfield, Carmiley, Arberlet, Colliston, Hayshead, Freakham and Wardykes primary schools. All the schools performed well, with Muirfield and Timmer Green's gaining joint third place and Wardykes achieving second place. The Rotary Primary Schools Quiz is a competition between primary schools throughout the north and east of Scotland. It is held annually, with over 500 schools competing through a series of heats. Hayshead will now compete in the next round of this competition, which will be held in Forfar on Saturday, May the 9th. Now in sport, hat trick for Fay at the Scottish Championships. Forfar curler Fay Henderson has become the youngest skip to claim 3 successive titles at the Scottish Curling Championships. The 24-year-old led her side to a 7-4 victory over Forfar's team Souter in a hard-fought final at her current home base of Dumfries Ice Bowl. Henderson is a year younger than Kelly Wood was when she became the first to achieve a hat-trick of successive victories in 2007. Meanwhile, only Olympic gold medalist Eve Muirhead has matched that feat in between times. Henderson was fully aware of the significance of what she had achieved with the support of teammates Hayley Duff, another member of the 2022 Olympic team, Katie McMillan, Lisa Davey and Laura Watt. She said, "To win 3 successive Scottish Championship titles in a row isn't something you see happen very often on the women's side, and I believe only Eve Muirhead and Kelly Wood have done it in the past." Again with sport, a desire to keep Mason at club. Forfar Athletic boss Jim Weir says he has to give on-loan goalkeeper Mason Munn game time so Rangers don't ask for him back. The 19-year-old arrived at Station Park last month, having spent the first half on the session on loan to Dunfermline Athletic. Munn was handed his first team debut for Rangers in last season's Scottish Cup and is one of the highest-rated youngsters in the UK. The Northern Ireland under-21 international made his first start for Forfar in the recent win over Alloa Athletic. Munn then kept his first clean sheet in the 0-0 draw at Edinburgh City on Saturday. Weir told the club's media team it was a difficult call to take club legend Mark McCallum out of the starting lineup. He said, "It's a real sore one on Mark McCallum because he's done nothing wrong this season. It would be really strange one when you think about it, changing the team after keeping a clean sheet against Dumbarton. I spoke to Mark and told him he wasn't dropped, but we need to see Mason because he is a top goalkeeper. It isn't as if we've brought in a training goalkeeper as backup. We need to see both players and see who is the best."
DNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Clean Sweep Brain Teaser at the Flower Shop. Welcome to Lindsay's Ear Spy activity for yourself or with others. Listen carefully to this one-sided imaginary telephone conversation and find out how many flower names you can recognise along the way. The correct number will be announced at the end. Must say, Eden, I'm surprised you remembered to phone. Good job you didn't forget me not, else there would be no wedding flowers for you next month. Yes, can confirm your order is top of the list. Just helping out until Iris is back from holiday. No, Daisy cannot manage everything on her own, what with the Rose Festival around the corner. Mind you, everything's difficult and slower here on the island. Eco-friendly, so more bicycle than car nation. Bit of clearing up mostly. Luckily, you caught me on a break. I was about to go through the feedback forms. No one will notice. Perks of the job going through the comments. 3 stars. Although bouquet did arrive on time, the dahlias were somewhat wilted. If such poor quality stock, they should have been replaced with more peonies. First time customer, Lily Baden. Yeah, it could be pronounced Baden, but think I was closer to the exact meaning in this case. Rather unfortunate though, not usually poor quality stock. Must have been the weather en route for the delivery. Maybe some better ones further down. Here we go. 5 stars. Last minute decision to buy Get Well Posy, and so pleased I did. The daffodil and freesia combination added both cheer and a delightful scent to remind my friend of happier times. Delivered in perfect condition. First time customer, Andy Boyd. Wait a minute. Looks like this next discerning person ordered the same table flowers as you. They gave it 4 stars, Eden. Let's see why. 4 stars. Would have been 5 stars had they arrived day before. My bird of paradise was stressing enough before the wedding. However, they were beautiful and stunning arrangements, so in the end turned out to be marigold. Repeat customer, Akeo Fuchsia. Bit mean, says here they ordered them for the exact date so they would be fresh. Seems their wires got crossed in the pre-wedding confusion. Talking of cross, 1 star. Pot plants were not as described. Much smaller ceramic pots than expected, and lavender flowers were different colour lilac to shown on screen. First and last customer, Holly Hock. I know, more snapdragon than sweet pea, that one. Clearly not everyone knows online photos never give a true colour, Eden. Otherwise this customer wouldn't have complained. It's bad enough trying to get certain flowers like tulips out of season, let alone the exact matching colour for an event. This customer's very particular about their parade float last year. All red and white, which meant, well, I'll read it to you. 2 stars. Display materials arrived on time. The chrysanthemum variety was lovely and puffy, like delicate snowballs, perfect for our purposes. Alas, the poinsettias did not like the chill of outdoors and therefore damaged beyond use. Disappointed, but willing to order replacements. Perhaps a sturdy aster of similar red hue. Referred customer, Arty Gardenia. Yeah, even I know those red bushes are highly sensitive to the cold. What did they expect of a native Aztec Mexican plant? Okay. And I'd best get on with throwing out the old sunflowers. Yes, Eden, already thought of that. I'm going to take the seed and feed them to the birds. Waste not, want not. Bye for now. Did you recognise the flowers mentioned? Total count was 24. The first florist or flower shop came from humble beginnings in the Netherlands, most likely a gardener selling flower arrangements from their greenhouse in about 1850. And it was also the Netherlands, later in 1926, who created the first professional floristry qualification exam. Here is the full list of answers read out in the order they were originally spoken. Forget me not. Iris. Daisy. Rose. Carnation. Dahlias. Peonies. Lily. Daffodil. Freesia. Bird of paradise. Marigold. Fuchsia. Lavender. Lilac. Hollyhock. Snapdragon. Sweet pea. Tulips. Chrysanthemum. Poinsettias. Aster. Gardenia. Sunflowers. If you did catch all 24 of them, well done. And if you missed a few, hope you still enjoyed the challenge.
TNF Soundings. TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, my name is Lindsay. I started producing topical items during lockdown to keep my neighbours entertained. All the recordings are made inside my cosy cabin for that extra sense of calm. And naturally enough, I call them cabin conversations. I hope you enjoy them. Cabin conversations about Easter Monday traditions. Easter Sunday, the main event, will fall on the 5th of April this year, with the Easter Monday public holiday on the 6th of April for England, Wales and Northern Ireland. Scotland now has several local authorities acknowledging the Easter Monday holiday, and while the rest of Britain officially declared it under the Bank Holidays Act of 1871, Scottish banks only changed their opening days from 1996. As for the actual calendar date, the earliest possible Mondays are the 23rd of March and the latest the 26th of April. So why do these celebration dates vary each year? Well, it all relates to different faith calendars deciding the set beginning of the spring equinox in March, combined with the new full moon in the same period. Whereas in reality, the seasons actually shift according to astronomy calculations. Emperor Constantine, the first Christian Roman leader in 325 AD, had the first council of Christian bishops stipulate when Easter should occur. They chose the first Sunday after the full moon, on or after the spring equinox, on the 21st of March, the same as today's observance. But it did not close the matter for many more centuries. Celtic Britain even wanted their own way, commemorating Good Friday on a Thursday. In England, a case of providence was argued between Celtic monks and Roman monks, which was settled by the Northumbrian King Oswy, who, despite having been raised in a Celtic kingdom and following their customs, his native Kent wife practised Roman. Oswy requested the Synod of Whitby Abbey in 664 to formally agree on Easter. They chose in favour of the Roman calendar and traditions, thus creating harmony in the royal court and structure for the country. Naturally, this upset the Celtic monks' leader, Bishop Colman of Lindisfarne, who promptly resigned and took his fellow devout monks with him to Scotland, never to return. Therefore, faith days have remained quite strict, though the Easter Monday public holiday less so, with mainly pagan-influenced activities across the UK. The Hocktide festival holiday, spanning both Monday and Tuesday after Easter, originated from medieval times, around the 11th century, and marks the end of winter on the land. Celebrated for 2 weeks in Hungerford, Berkshire today, it is an opportunity for the parish to raise funds. A town crier calls Hocktide Court in the privately owned town hall, while the tooty men, or tooty women these days, walk door to door carrying their tooty wooden poles, atopped with flower posies and ribbons. Their job, to collect small tithe fees. They are accompanied by tooty girls with wicker baskets of sweets and someone with a sack of oranges, so that residents who pay can receive an orange in exchange. These tithes, or rents, are for fishing the local rivers and cattle grazing on the common, along with rights to pick watercress. Afterwards, a grand feast using local fish, beef, and watercress to symbolise further the event. Many ancient and old customs are involved during the festival, ale tasting, and a blacksmith simulating horseshoeing a newcomer to the feast. In Leicestershire, a bottle-kicking match takes place, a custom thought to go back 2,000 years. The two villages of Hallerton and Medbourne first parade a hare rabbit pie through the streets and behind three small wooden barrels, described originally as bottles, one solid wood and the other two filled with beer. The object of the game is to move the best of three barrels to the other side of one of the village streams, by whatever means possible, as having no official rules. In fact, it has been likened to an early form of rugby. The winning team who gets any barrel onto the village green takes the spoils. Another Herculean race is held in Gawthorpe, Wakefield, Yorkshire, for the World Coal Carrying Championships, split into several categories. The children's fun run, for a distance of 100 yards or 91 metres to the village green. All the adults, men, women and veterans 40 years and over, start their races from the public house in Ossett, covering 0.6 of a mile or 1,012 metres to finish at the Maypole Green in Gawthorpe. The only variation between them being the weight carried. The women each take 44 pounds, that's 20 kilos of coal, and the men 110 pounds, or 50 kilos of coal. Despite the hindrance of carrying such weights, the men's record set in 1995 was 4 minutes, 6 seconds. Although for many, Easter Monday means reflecting on the value of faith and leisure time spent with family and friends. May you mark the end of winter and the beginning of spring in your own distinct way.
DNF Soundings.